Rebels have it, 2nd and 6 from their own 45-yard line. Two wide receivers to the left, one to the right for Armani Rogers. Read option. Lexington Thomas has some open room. 40, 35, 30. He's gone. Lexington Thomas, left sideline. Touchdown, UNLV.
UNLV play-by-play announcer Russ Langer on the call of Lexington Thomas's 55-yard second-half touchdown run yesterday in Columbus, Ohio. Yes, believe it or not, there were some Rebel highlights in the beatdown that most of us saw coming at number 10, Ohio State. The final score, Ohio State 54, UNLV 21, might be closer than it sounds. But that being said, the game itself wasn't as brutal as I thought it would be. Sound like a contradiction in terms? Stick around and I'll explain. Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of Out of Line. I'm Brian Feldman, and joining me in studio as always is Magnum, future Nevada Hall of Fame producer and brand new co-host and producer of the UNLV football pre- and post-game show.
Not producer, just a co-host.
Oh, just a co-host. You're not producing?
Nope. That's our wonderful friend Bobby who produces that show.
Oh, dude, that's phenomenal. I didn't even know. I figured you were doing it all.
No. I can't take all the credit for all the... Look, I just show up. Bobby does all the work.
Well, the work is making UNLV sound good sometimes.
I try, you know.
Okay, well, that's a talent. Well, listen.
I was a little off yesterday. I said inspired effort, and you know what? They didn't quit.
We're going to talk about that in a minute. I got a lot to say on that, and I'm sure you do too. Listen, we are here every Sunday from 8 to 9 on Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM at 1340 AM, the official home of the Vegas Golden Knights. We're also streaming live on lvsportsnetwork.com. The Twitter handle is at Out of Line, 1340 AM, and you can find us on Facebook. The page is called Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. Without you, there's no show. So if you have something on your mind, give us a call. Turn down your radio and say what you got to say. The Fox Sports studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
I'm Bubby, and What's on Tap is Brian and Magnum talking UNLV football and a Buckeye beating in Ohio. Before they left, Brian talked to Tony Sanchez and redshirt freshman quarterback Armani Rogers. That should be interesting. And it's Sunday, so expect lots of football and the picks of the week. Something is blazing, and don't go back to bed before you hear a presidential fact this. The Vegas Golden Knights are 2 weeks away from playing for real, and Nightcap with Frank Harnish will get us right where we need to be. What's on tap at Bubby University? You can earn your degree in food, draft beer, gaming, and the hard stuff. The only major to offer is a good time. Bring your Rebel ID and your first beer is free. You can enroll 24 hours a day. Yes, that means I never go to bed. Bubby's University at 4570 South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. Go to bubbysuniversity.com for more information. Call Magnum right now at 876-1340, and I will give the first two people that call and say Go Lions a $25 gift certificate at Bubby's University. Brian, who do you like, Atlanta or our Lions?
Well, Bubba, you know, I'm going against the grain. The Lions have been underdogs in both games they've played so far this year, and they have beat the odds makers and came up on the other side and won. I'm going to be talking about the Lions here shortly, my friend. I'll tell you right now, I'm going with the Lions, not just for the spread. They're going to win outright. They're going to be home underdogs and go 3-0 for the first time since 2011. Bubba, you sound a little rough, man. I know you were sick before. You feeling better, brother?
I'm getting better. I feel okay. The voice just hasn't come back yet.
Well, you sound like a raspy, good sportscaster. I dig it. Tell me what's going on, man. All kinds of stuff. I know our Lions are 2-0. I don't want to talk a lot about the Michigan State game yesterday. It wasn't pretty. They took back whatever that is, the megaphone or whatever the hell they have there in Michigan State. They took back Notre Dame, won it yesterday. But what's going to go on at Bubby's University, man, for football this season?
Well, we have 47 big screen TVs, all HD. Every game is available. We show them all, college and NFL. Tons of great specials, buckets of beer. Our food specials are off the hook. We have a waffle cone that we fill with mashed potatoes, macaroni and cheese, and then top it with either brisket, pulled pork, or corned beef. It's amazing. Just all kinds of good stuff going on.
Megs, that sounds pretty good stuff, doesn't it, man?
Yeah.
You got me hungry already, man.
It's too early to be thinking about that.
Yeah, but we got to get Bubby to just come in here and bring breakfast sometime, man. That sounds delicious, brother. We'll be out there at some point to check out the games. It is a great venue, my friend. I'll be pulling for the Lions today, right along with you.
Yep, I'm definitely pulling for the Lions. I think we have this.
I hope so, man. I really hope so. I've got some predictions later on. I'm going to boast more about them. You'll be able to hear that. That is Brad Bubby, owners of Bubby University. You got to check this place out, man. Great food, great stuff, and a great time. We appreciate you, brother.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Mags, let's move forward. And we've got to talk about this UNLV football game. You did the pre- and post-game show, I know. You know, the question I have, first and foremost, if the game was different than I thought it would be, I would say it was in a more positive than negative way. You know, there was some decent creative offensive play calling. The reverse to Presley they used a couple of times. It was successful once. I mean, they came out throwing after saying they were going to have to run, and they had success doing it in the second half against Ohio State. They ran the ball decently. It was against the second unit. We know that. But they got a first down right out of the gate in their first offensive series against the 10th-ranked team in the country. Mags, was it what you thought it would be? Was it worse? Was it better?
Well, the score line was about where I thought it would be. I just didn't think UNLV would find themselves down so early, so quickly. You know, they had a possession, I guess. I think it was the second possession where they looked like they were going to score points, and they had a delay of game penalty, and that kind of set the wheels in motion for them not to score points. But, you know, I think what I take away from it is, look, they were down huge on the road against a Big Ten opponent who's a top 10 opponent, and they came out in the second half and they fought. Nobody thought they would be as good as Ohio State. I don't think anybody thought they were going to go in there and win that game.
Mm-mm.
But for me, what I take away from it is the fact that Armani Rogers did not play terrible. He played admirable. Lexington Thomas had success against a pretty good Ohio State team. You know, so there are some good takeaways. And like I said, the big thing I take away from it is, look, they were down, and this could have turned into a 70-7 type of game. And UNLV had a lot of pride in that second half and said, look, we're not going to come back and win this game, but we're not going to let these guys just kick us around, and we're going to fight. And I think that's a reflection of Coach Tony Sanchez, the fact that this team gets down, and they don't give up. You know, we've seen teams in the past with Bobby Houck, Mike Sanford, even John Robinson to an extent, where these guys would just quit. UNLV would quit, and they didn't. And I think that's a good sign because, look, you play San Jose State at home next week, I believe. Is it San Jose State or Utah State? I think it's San Jose State.
San Jose State.
Who just got their doors kicked in by Utah State, 61-10 last night.
Well, UNLV's opening up at about a 5.5-point favorite.
I think the Rebels are absolutely going to come out, and they're just going to destroy San Jose State next week.
Well, here's what I want to tell you, Max. First and foremost, I want to agree with you on Armani Rogers. I thought he did not come out in any way, shape, or form and look like a deer in headlights. He looked like he belonged. I mean, that 6'5", 225-pound frame is an imposing figure. That guy could play quarterback anywhere in the country. I do believe that. Put it this way. He wouldn't get cut on any team in the country, and I include Alabama and Ohio State. He would make the squad, he would travel, and he would be there. I believe that. I got a chance to talk to both him and Tony Sanchez before the Ohio State game last Tuesday after the press conference. Pretty impressed with everything I heard. Sanchez had me laughing. I'm like, you know, describe the 2017 Rebels, and he said, a work in progress. That's exactly what they are. But this guy, Armani Rogers, considering he is a red shirt freshman, meaning he has 4 more years after this one of eligibility, if this guy stays at UNLV for 4 years, I think in 3 years they could be competing for a Mountain West crown and probably make a bowl game once or twice this year. I don't know about it, but this was Armani, keep in mind, before the Ohio State game. First chance I had a chance to talk to the guy. Well, somewhere in here we got that down there, Mags.
But, you know, I do think they're going to make a bowl game this year. Look, I figured they were going to – I thought they were going to be 2-1 at this point. I figured they were going to beat Howard, and I figured they were going to beat Idaho. But to me, Idaho was a toss-up game because, look, they lost to Idaho last year. Idaho brought back their leading rusher. They brought back Linehan, their quarterback, and they were playing at the Kibbe Dome. But things didn't go the way I expected in the Howard game, but they bounced back. They beat Idaho. They're going to bounce back next week. They're going to beat San Jose State. I have no doubt.
We'll see. We have to see the after effects. The one thing is they made it through the Ohio State
without
game
injuries.
Without any key injuries, and that was huge. But again, now I got it queued up. Here's Armani Rogers, and again, this was before the Ohio State game. This was last Tuesday.
I am talking to 2017 quarterback Armani Rogers. Highly anticipated last year. Everyone watched you on the sideline waiting for you to get in there. Know you're redshirted. Now you're the man. How you feeling?
Feel great. The way that I've came from being a redshirt to the position I am now, just a great feeling to be in right now.
Talk to me about the first game. You start off, you come out against Howard. I think everybody in the world, obviously the odds makers, thought that they had no chance. Offensively, you score a lot of points, over 40 points. You play well. It was a little bit tough on defense. They threw a few wrinkles at you, but you come off of that game, and, man, how are you feeling after something like that? Like the beginning of the season, your first ever start in college, a game that you're, you don't want to say you're looking past the team, but it almost seemed like the team might have been.
Wasn't the outcome that we expected, but once again, it's football. Things happen, and you have to just know how to bounce back and step back into reality and go out there to your next game and go out there and fight. And you can't just sit back and dawn on losing the first game because it wasn't what we expected. So once the game's over, said and done, just get back out there and just get back focused.
Well, it had to help that you went to Idaho, and even though you didn't play in that game last year, it was avenging a loss to that team, which had to feel good, especially on the road, a small, tough environment to play in. How much did that help you, that win? How crucial was that to get a win there on the road, get a bye week before you have to go to Columbus and play Ohio State?
Everyone we get is value right now, but that game was a big statement. That was a statement game, and for us to go out there and win in Idaho and have a bye week this week, or last week rather, and then come out here to prepare for Ohio, it's a great feeling right now. So I feel like we're very prepared on offense and defense. We're prepared too as well, so we just have to go out there and put up a fight.
I mean, looking around, you're in the huddle, you're looking at your teammates in practices now. You guys are obviously talking about Ohio State. What a tremendous opportunity to get to go play at a university like that. You're going to be in the national spotlight, but when you look at the faces of your guys and you're talking about Ohio State, do you guys really believe you can win?
Yeah, of course we believe we can, if we can win. And if we didn't believe we could win, we don't want them in the huddle. That's considered a cancer for us. But I feel like we can go out there and compete with anybody right now, and everybody's focused right now, and everybody's with each other.
Have you talked about the fact that, hey, look what Howard did. They came in here and did this. Why can't we go in there and do that?
No, I haven't talked about that. Everybody's situation is different. We have to just go out there and play our game.
Tell me about going forward. It's your freshman year. Obviously, the comparisons. You've handled them well. I've really liked your answers, hearing you in the media talk about when people say, this guy's compared to Cam Newton, and then you play his little brother in the first game. But what is that? Is that like something that pumps you up? Do you get pride in that, or something like, nah, I don't want to talk about that right now?
A little bit of both. You get a little bit of pride, but then again, it's the media talking. I want to go out there and speak for myself and let the media do the talking, because everything in the media is not going to always be positive, so you have to be able to deal with the negative and positive.
If I said, Armani, describe to me, tell me in your words, give me a definition of the 2017 Rebel football team.
The come up. We're on the rise right now, and I feel it. And just looking out there in the huddle, being on offense and all that type of stuff, I just feel a different vibe. I wasn't really there. I was there last year on the sideline and all the games, but I feel a different sense of vibe in the huddle right now.
How much confidence does he give you? You got four returning starters on the offensive line. I know you weren't part of that, but the four returning starters, and you got skill positions like Lexington Thomas, Devontae Boyd. Does that give you good confidence as a quarterback?
Gives me great confidence knowing what we have, the weapons that we have on this offense, and it's just a great feeling to have.
What can we expect to see from UNLV from this point going forward?
Can expect to see a lot. We're on the rise, like I said earlier, and it's going to be a great season for us. We're excited.
Listen, I appreciate you.
Armani Rogers, Mags, what do you think? Impressed?
Yeah, he sounds like a very, he's a very well-spoken young man. He seems mature beyond his years. What is he, only 19?
You know, he's 20, I think.
He's
20
a young
old,
kid,
yeah.
And he is arguably, and it, obviously I'm putting a lot here, but for people who've been here a long time, they'll know who I'm talking about. He is the first legit quarterback threat that UNLV has had since Jason Thomas, which was back in 99-2000. And, you know, he's not going to get billboards for the Heisman Trophy. Maybe a few years down the road. Let's keep our fingers crossed.
Who knows? But 6'5", 225.
Like, something I said in the pregame yesterday, and I'll have to say it again. He is a Pac-12 quarterback. He was committed to Cal, and he decommitted, and he signed on with Coach Sanchez at UNLV, in large part because he believed in what Coach Sanchez was doing. This is a guy who you could put him on almost any team in the Pac-12 today. Obviously not USC or UCLA, but there's some teams in the Pac-12 where if he was the quarterback, he'd probably be playing. Maybe not starting, but he'd be getting reps. He's that good.
You know, the thing is, Mags, you're exactly right. You look at Cal, they're 2 years removed from having the number one player picked in the NFL draft out of the quarterback position, and he was recruited to go there. Like I said, I believe Armani Rogers would play on any team in the country. Now, play? No. But make a team? Sure. Would he make the Alabama roster and travel with him? I believe he could be the third quarterback
and that's the
at
thing.
Alabama.
You look at what Jalen Hurts is doing at Alabama. He's not lighting
He's
it up.
He's a freshman.
What did he throw for 100 yards yesterday, and they put up 59 points?
No question about it.
You know, I do not think it's a stretch to say that Armani Rogers could be playing at any of the
school.
120
and Mags,
Division
and Mags, that was my point. It's not just Armani Rogers. That's why I said, you know, the game wasn't as brutal as I thought it would be, and I learned some things. There are players, a handful of these guys on UNLV's roster that I do believe could play anywhere in the country. Devontae Boyd not only could play anywhere in the country, I think he will get a shot at an NFL roster. He's fearless. He'll go over the middle. He is great when he gets separation. I like him a great deal. Lexington Thomas, they were talking about how small he was in the first half. He definitely got bottled up against Ohio State's first team defense. But that was also because he was playing behind UNLV's offensive line. Not that I'm downgrading or discarding UNLV's offensive line, but come on, compared to Ohio State's number one defensive lines, Bosa's little brother, forget it. You're going to lose. But the point is, Lexington Thomas in the second half against Ohio State's second team defense, still a few starters in there. He had a 55-yard touchdown. He had another big run that was taken back. The bottom line is, this kid also, I believe, could play at a lot of places. And I'll tell you, you know, besides those two guys, a guy like Mike Hughes, Mags, you know what? He was stuffed in the middle. I believe Mike Hughes could suit up at a lot of universities in this country, and their leading tackler. Baylor, Lagley? How do you pronounce his name?
Oh, yeah, I know.
The bottom line is, he was playing great. He plays sideline to sideline from the middle linebacker position, and another guy that I believe could play anywhere in the country. Don't discount this UNLV team. Like Mag says, they've got a tough road to haul. Are they going to make a bowl game? I disagree with you there. I don't think so, but I do think they'll beat San Jose State. San Diego State, again, looks really tough.
Well,
and you know what?
Game last night, just throw it out, because the weather in the first half of that game
it's the coach. You know, we looked at Pumphrey, you know, and we're talking about how great Penny looks just as good.
Yeah.
So it is their philosophy. It is their makeup, their DNA.
That's a Rocky Long offense.
It is.
You know,
but
they've always played, even when he was at New Mexico, they were able to run the ball really well.
But we saw a team that was able to handle them in Air Force, and we got them the week after. So it is going to be a tough road to haul. I think we'll definitely maintain or get back the cannon this year, but I'll tell you right now, it's going to be a tough season. Listen, we got to take a break. Mags, we got to come back and talk NFL before we run out of time, because that is a big subject today, and you know, the game of the day.
Some breaking news, by the way, in the NFL involving a entire team regarding the national anthem.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, I definitely want to hear that. And right now, you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars, they're the only team in the NFL right now that has two homes, one in Jacksonville, Florida, and one in London. They were in London. They were even listed as the home team today, even though the Giants were 3-point favorites. But the Jacksonville Jaguars are playing like a home team in London. Last I heard, they were winning.
It's 29-0 in the third quarter. 30-0 in the third quarter.
30-0. They love London. Listen, we got to take a break. You're listening to Out of Line here on Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, home of the Vegas Golden Knights. Hotline, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. Brian Feldman, Magnum. Coming up in a little while, we'll have Ballpark Frank is going to be joining us for our second edition of Nightcap, a recap of the Golden Knights week and the Vegas Golden Knights upcoming games, of course, a week from Friday. Is it a week from Thursday or a week from Friday, Meg? Week from Friday, right?
Week from Friday, they open in Dallas.
In Dallas.
Yeah. And I believe it's Saturday they play in Phoenix and they return home for their home opener in a few days after that.
Yeah.
Which I believe is October 10th. I believe that's a Tuesday. So 2 weeks. So actually very cool.
2 weeks from Thursday, you know who they play? At home?
Detroit.
The Detroit Red Wings.
Well, this Tuesday I'm actually going to be out at Toshiba Plaza from 5 to 7 with all sorts of really cool stuff and getting ready for the first pregame or first preseason game,
Tuesday night
at T-Mobile, and I'm actually going to be there for that. So it's kind of really, really fun, and hopefully we'll get to hear some locker room sound as well for the first time this season.
So. I'm hoping to get some too. I'm planning on going Thursday to the preseason game there. I'm actually hosting the Seat Show Thursday and Friday this week.
Game on NBC Sports.
Yeah, on NBC Sports, 9:20 the game. So hopefully I'll get some Golden Knights sound for those broadcasts as well. Well, Mags, let's get into the NFL right now. Some surprises all the way around. Jacksonville looking to go 2-0. I think they are 2-1, which is definitely a bit of a surprise the way they started the season.
2-1 in the division.
Yeah, I know. 2-1 in the division, which is amazing, starting with three divisional games. And, not 2-1 in the division. Baltimore's not in their division.
That's right. They'd be 1-1.
They'll be 1-1 in the division. But still, they're looking pretty good. Another thing to talk about, you know, the Cleveland Browns. This is the first time, Magnum, since 2015, they have been favored in a football game, and they're on the road at Indianapolis. And I'll tell you, I'm a little surprised. Brissett's a lot better than Tolzien. I was shocked that the Browns were favored in this game on the road, but they're 1.5-point favorites. I like Indianapolis in that one. Don't want to spend a lot of time talking about that. Pittsburgh is hosting the Chicago Bears. Pittsburgh's actually at Chicago. I don't care where this game is played at. I don't care how much pride Chicago tries to stand up and have. They're getting wasted today by the Steelers. I like that game a lot. And Miami, we talked about Miami at the New York Jets. The Jets always play Miami tough, Mags. It's Jay Cutler. He's 1-0. I think if the Jets are going to get a win this year, this might be the day for the Jets to get their one and maybe one of their only two or three wins of the season. I don't know why, but I like them today. It won't be today?
No, the Jets are – Miami's too good of a team. Jay Cutler – you know what, though? It's the Jets' home opener. They've played two games on the road to start the season. But I don't think this is the day that the Jets get the job done. I think – they have game coming up against Cleveland. They also have a game against Jacksonville, although now Jacksonville's looking
they
pretty good.
They could lose both those games easily, too. They could be 0-16 this year.
And I've been saying it.
So have I since
August.
Half-heartedly and half-jokingly.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is the Jets are tanking this season. There's no question about that. They are tanking this year, and it makes me want to vomit.
Well, here's my issue. You know, we see that in the NBA, teams tanking, but to tank before the season even starts.
It's disgusting, Mags. In the biggest media circus in the United States, in the Big Apple, they're going to tank before the season and blatantly, obviously tank. I mean, it's repulsive. I don't want to talk about the Jets. I'm going to avoid talking about the Jets as much as I can this year. A game that really surprises me based on the line, Denver at Buffalo. Denver is only a 3-point favorite at Buffalo. The over-under is 39. That doesn't surprise me with the tenacity of Denver's defense. But, Mags, why only 3 points in Buffalo? Again, something stinks about that game. That was going to be my pick, but something just smells about that game.
That's why I will stay far away from that game. Something about it, you know what? I don't know if they just don't trust Simeon. Maybe Buffalo's defense does something.
Yeah, Simeon could have a letdown on the road, but, man, Denver's defense doesn't even need an offense to play football,
If you look at what Buffalo did last week, only scoring 3 points against the Panthers.
That's what I'm saying. I don't get it, Mags. This is a game that smells. It stinks just like that Jacksonville-Houston game did at the beginning of the season. We went with it, and we made a mistake. I don't want to make a mistake this week. I'm staying away from it, too. Houston at New England, a battle of 1-1 teams. No respect whatsoever for the Texans. Right now, as of this moment, New England 14-point favorites at home against the Texans. You buying it or you selling it, Mags?
I think the Patriots will win. I don't think 14 points is a lot in the NFL. I mean, obviously the Patriots looked much better last week against a pretty bad New Orleans Saints defense. Houston's defense a little bit better, but the odds makers are looking at the fact that Deshaun Watson making only his second start against Bill Belichick. It's a game I would definitely stay away from. I would not bet that, but I think the Patriots are going to win easy. The question is, can Houston keep it at least respectable?
I don't know. I'll tell you what I do like in that game. I like the over-under. I like going over 44 points a lot in that game. I think it's going to be a high-scoring affair. New Orleans at Carolina, division matchup, another game that really smells. It's only because Carolina can't seem to put points on the board. But we all know how bad New Orleans' defense is. We saw it exposed last week, Mags. And New Orleans, again, why is Carolina only a 5.5-point favorite? Is Cam Newton more hurt than we think or we're hearing?
Well, Carolina has had trouble scoring, moving the ball.
But they're playing New Orleans!
And they also lost Cam Newton's number one target, Greg Olsen, who's going to be out until at least the end of November with a broken foot. So, you know, for Carolina, they've started out 2-0, but they've beaten two pretty bad football teams. So I don't know if I'm a believer in them, and maybe Cam Newton is a little injured. Maybe that shoulder's
I think the shoulder's bothering more. We know Minnesota-Tampa Bay, the odds makers have really held off on this one, waiting to see if Sam Bradford would play. He's not. It's Case Keenum. And Minnesota's got the host in the game. The Bucs were favored by as many as 2.5. A lot of the smart money, what I heard, Mag, this morning, it's gone so heavily on Minnesota that that line is all the way down to like a point. I just don't know, Mags. I mean, Case Keenum's serviceable. Minnesota's at home. It gets awfully loud there. But you got Tampa Bay. You got Jameis Winston. You got some really talented wide receivers. A decent running game. Why has Tampa Bay seemed to be stuck in the mud?
Well, I think a lot of people are on top of the Buccaneers here. I think they're a sexy pick for the Super Bowl. The public, I believe, would be on Tampa Bay in this one, especially when you factor in the news that you know, obviously, no Sam Bradford. Minnesota, they're going to be able to run the ball, I think. And I think Jameis Winston's going to have some tough time against the cornerbacks of the Vikings, who both have pretty good, they have a pretty good set of corners. But it's going to be an interesting game. I mean, we'll find out today if Tampa Bay is a legit team or not.
I think Jameis Winston breaks out today, and I think Tampa Bay is going to open them up like a can of creamed corn on Christmas morning.
What the hell are you talking about?
I don't know. The game of the day, without question, is Atlanta at Detroit. But two 2-0 teams, one not a surprise, other than Atlanta really beating up on Green Bay last week. I didn't see that. Atlanta definitely is the most explosive, exciting offense to watch in the National Football League over the past two seasons. They've got the best wide receiver in football in Julio Jones. Freeman is really turning out to be a very quality every down back, and Matty Ice is Matty Ice. He plays great until he gets on the biggest stage, although he played good until the end of the biggest stage last year. I like this Detroit defense. I think Ziggy Mags is one of the best pass rushers in the National Football League. I think he's doing nothing but getting better. I think the defensive line of the Detroit Lions was underrated coming in because of injuries and changing of the guards. I think their secondary is starting to get its just deserves. Slay is as good as anybody out there. Quinn keeps getting involved in picks all over the board. I love the Detroit Lions in this game, -3, and I are getting 3 points at home. Everyone likes the Falcons. Good luck with that one. And the other early game, Mags, New York and Philadelphia, everyone's expecting Philly to win. They're 6-point favorites. At some point, the New York Giants have to show some pride. You never know what the hell's going on in the NFC East. I actually like the Giants not only to cover, but to go into Philadelphia and win because nobody expects that to happen.
Well, they're going to have to score more than 20 points if they're going to do it. Something they haven't been able to do in the last 8 games going back to last season. Ziggy Ansah, he absolutely ate Eric Flowers for dinner last week. And, you know, the Giants have a lot of offensive line problems. They've had some issues with wide receivers dropping balls. Eli's not getting the protection. They can't run the ball. I like Philadelphia. I think Philadelphia's going to win this one.
All right. Well, we're going against this. Those aren't our picks of the week. Other games quickly to run down. Seattle's at Tennessee. Tennessee's actually favored by 2.5 points. I do like the Titans in that one. Kansas City, man, looks like a team that is definitely going to be able to make a run for the Super Bowl if they stay healthy. They've got some mad skills at the skilled positions. They're playing at the Los Angeles Chargers, who are 0-2. The Chargers are better than their record, but they're not better than Kansas City. Kansas City will come cover that 3 points on the road. And Cincinnati at Green Bay, I think the Cincinnati Bengals are finished. They stink. They're done. And I love the Green Bay Packers in that one. The soon-to-be Las Vegas Raiders at Washington, another team that came in, rolled out the bank on Kirk Cousins. I don't like him at all. I think Oakland's going to go in there and roll. And tomorrow night, the Monday night game, or I should say the Monday night game, I like the Dallas Cowboys at Arizona. I think they'll bounce back from their loss to Denver last week. Mags, real quickly, we got to get our picks in. We're all 1-1. Dewey, the Las Vegas Review-Journal sports betting writer, says it's going to be Atlanta -3. He's going against my Detroit Lions, brother. Who are you taking?
I like the Cowboys tomorrow night, laying 3 on the road against Arizona. I cannot stand Carson Palmer. He stinks. No David Johnson for the Cardinals. Cowboys, they need to bounce back in a big way. Otherwise, there's going to be a lot of turmoil going on. I expect Zeke Elliott to have a pretty big game tomorrow night after what happened last week. I just think it's a perfect storm for the Cowboys to really roll tomorrow night against the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, I like that, too. I don't mind your pick. And just walking to the studio, of course, Frank Harnish came in. And I don't know if he's going to like this a great deal, but I'm going against his Bears at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers. 7.5 points is not enough. The Bears need to get Trubisky in there as quickly as they can. The bottom line is I love the 7.5 points. I love the Steelers. The Bears are not going to be able to stop them, and the Steelers have, maybe next to the Chiefs, the highest-powered offense right now in the National Football League. And if they're clicking on all cylinders, the Bears don't have a chance. I'm going to take them. Listen, I know we got to take a break. We've gone back. We've got Nightcap, our newest feature coming up blazing, and you definitely don't want to miss fact this today. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. Blazing, brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza, stone's throw from Centennial Hills Hospital. They've got 2 happy hours every way. It is America's choice for wings, beer, and sports. Come on down there tomorrow night. Myself, Chris Wynn, down there pretty much every Monday night having a good time. We are giving away replica jerseys. We are giving away wing parties, free wings. It's a great time. Come on down and check it out. And Blazin', you know, I'm going to be a homer and get this out before I can't. The Detroit Lions are 2-0 for the first time since 2011 when they won their first 5 games and ended up 10-6 and lost in the first round of the playoffs to New Orleans Saints. The highest paid player in the league, Matthew Stafford, is earning his money. Only because I'm a masochistic Lions fan, I had them winning the home opener against Arizona and then losing on the road to the G-men before the season. Most had them 0-2, and most also had them losing today at home against the Falcons. The primary reason Las Vegas had the over-under at 7.5 is because a lot of people figured they'd lose these first 3 games. They haven't. They're 2-0. Next week, they might be 2-1, but right now, they're blazing. Who's blazing, Mags?
Well, anytime I get a chance to take a shot at the school up north, I'm going to take the opportunity. So I'm going to go with Luke Falk. He's the quarterback at Washington State. Last night, all he did against the pack and the joke pack of the school up north, who will never be called what they'd like to be called, they now fall to 0-4 on the season. But Luke Falk, 36 for 47. 478 yards, averaged over 10 yards a completion, and only threw for 5 touchdown passes as the Cougars roll over that other school in the state, the inferior school in the state of Nevada, 45-7. And he's on the season. Luke Falk has thrown for almost 1,400 yards, 14 touchdowns, and only 1 interception. And the Cougars of Washington State, 4-0, 1-0 in the Pac-12, and the Pirate, Mike Leach, has got them playing pretty well.
That's why I said the Fremont Cannon will be back at
where it belongs.
Where it belongs.
Down south.
It'll be back here at the end of the season this year. That's Blazing, brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango, a stone's throw from Centennial Hills Hospital. 2 happy hours every day, America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. Time for Fact This.
Fact this. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
Yeah, President of the United States, Donald Trump, this is a fact, has made several bonehead statements, but his most recent rant on Friday might be more impactful internally within our country than any that preceded it. Here's Donald on Friday night.
Luther and I And everyone in this arena tonight are unified by the same great American values. We're proud of our country. We respect our flag. Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now. Out. He's fired. He's fired.
Where the hell is Rod Serling when we need him? This is the Twilight Zone. Unfortunately, we're all living in it. You know, this could very well set off a chain reaction and clear division between professional sports and the leader of our country. It pretty much has. After those statements, this was Steve Kerr on Saturday afternoon.
I thought yesterday his comments about the NFL players was as bad as anything he has said to this point. So it's awful. You're talking about young men who are peacefully protesting police brutality and racism. Racial inequality, peacefully protesting, hallmarks of our country. Come on, this has been very difficult for us to have to reconcile, put it that way.
Yeah, Oakland A's catcher Bruce Maxwell yesterday became the first Major League Baseball player to kneel during the national anthem. Before the game versus the Texas Rangers. He's the son of a U.S. Army vet. He was born in Germany in a U.S. Installation, and he had his hand on his chest, on his heart, as he knelt. And after the game, this is what he had to say.
My decision's been coming for a long time. You know, I know I was on the fence about it because, you know, nobody in baseball has ever done it. And so, you know, I finally got to the point where, you know, I thought the inequality of man is being discussed and it's being practiced, you know, from our president. And, you know, and I feel like the indifference, you know, of human beings, and the only way we can come together is by informing everybody. You know, I feel like it's only right for us, you know, as players, and I don't speak for my teammates or anybody else in the MLB, but to only basically single out NFL players for doing this is not something that we as athletes should be doing.
And they're not going to be doing it. It's going to be crossing all professional sports. We'll see it everywhere, as we should. And you know what? It didn't have to be a distraction. Donald Trump made it one. I don't even want to talk about this guy anymore. I don't want this ever to become a political show. It's not one. But this man, oh my God, that's all I can say. I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone. Every time I hear him talk, I'm like, this isn't real, right? This is somebody's playing a horrible joke, and I'm going to wake up one day.
Well, here's my, and I will preface by saying, I think, just looking at the guy makes me want to vomit. I'm just going to say that. So you can take that for what it's worth. Why are people, him included, so quick to demonize these players like Colin Kaepernick? You know, today, Shahid Khan, the owner of the Jaguars, came out, locked hands with his players on the field in London. We've seen every team in the AFC East, including the Patriots.
Pittsburgh's not coming out for the national anthem, you know, today, from what I hear.
But why is that demonized as disrespecting the flag, but you have these idiots in places like Charlottesville waving the Nazi flag, doing the KKK salute right next to the American flag, and those are some very fine people? It's disgusting. Yeah. It's absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, it's a fact that he's an idiot. I'll say that. There's just no way to sugarcoat it anymore, man. I am disgusted. Lots of people tweeted about it. Roger Goodell had something to say about it. Adam Silver had something to say about it. All of our professional sports are uniting against the President of the United States.
Well, just wait until he's the NBA.
Well, the bottom line is Golden State. It all started with Steph Curry not wanting to go to the White House. They were supposed to have a conversation about it, and Donald Trump said, well, if you're gonna have a conversation about it, you're not invited. I don't want to go into this anymore. That's fact. This, let's get to our brand new segment that just started last week.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Today, joining for Nightcap, Frank Harnish, host of the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 3 in the afternoon, right here on the home of the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. And during the Golden Knight game broadcasts, you'll also hear Frank on the pre- and post-game shows, as well as in-between periods. Frank, everyone knows the love you have for your Blackhawks, but now it's all about the Golden Knights.
Well, yeah, man, I'm excited about the Golden Knights. I've been watching all the preseason, going over to City National Arena pretty much on a daily basis. I mean, hockey's here. I've been hoping for this for well over 20 years since I moved out here, and now we have it, and I'm all in with the Knights.
Man, I still pinching myself. It is so cool that we are less than 2 weeks away from the start of a professional, major professional sports team playing right here in Las Vegas. That is so, so cool. What have you learned about this team with what you've seen at practice and in the few preseason games so far?
No, what I've learned about them is that kind of what I knew. They're a bunch of third and fourth line players for the most part. They're a lot of grinders. They play hard. Coach Gerard Gallant is trying to figure out exactly what the combinations are. Chemistry is going to be an issue, but they're going to have solid goaltending with Marc-Andre Fleury in there. There's a couple youngsters. This team is building for the future. They're not going to have a great season this year. I think they can be competitive. I think they will win some games, but it's all about building for the future, getting these young kids ready, and some of the names that you won't see over at the T-Mobile, at least at the start of the season, you will see down the road.
Initially, aside from Marc-Andre Fleury, who do you expect to stand out and take a leadership role in this team?
No, Jonathan Marchessault for sure is going to be one of those guys. He's a quality hockey player. Shipachev, the guy coming over from the Soviet Union, he looks pretty good. Marchessault and Riley Smith have played together before, so that could be the best line for them there. Guys like Derek England, who live right here in Las Vegas, he's been a leader. There's been a lot of guys that have come to the forefront, and James Neal, when he's ready to get back out on the ice, should be a quality player as well.
Have you got a jersey yet?
I do not have a jersey yet.
Who are you going to get? You got to be thinking, is it going to be the typical Marc-Andre Fleury? You're going to go out on a limb and maybe take one of the new guys like Suzuki coming up and probably be able to hang on that jersey for years.
You know, as somebody who covers the team, I don't know that I'll get a jersey of a certain player or something like that. If I got a jersey, it'll
just
probably
a blank
be somebody
one.
for my favorite number or something
I
like that.
I think you
maybe.
Need to get one that just says Harnish on it, man. You're all over the broadcast. You might as well just have your own jersey.
We'll see.
I don't think that's a bad idea. You know, looking at it, Frank, I've been checking out, you know, the games and listening to them on the radio. A lot of goals have been scored by the Golden Knights, which is pretty exciting. That first game, you know, a guy like Tyler Wong to get a hat trick in the very first game, 4 points so far. The Western Hockey League, this guy is no stranger to scoring goals. Last year, 51 goals, 58 assists, 109 points. I know it's not the NHL, but this man is very familiar with putting the biscuit between the pipes.
Yeah, and he'll be playing in tonight's game as well, so he's getting another look. He's a guy who's making it tough on Gerard Gallant to cut him. Tomas Hika's another guy. He scored in every game that he's played for them so far. So they've got some good young players. They're not all going to be here. We know that they've already sent a bunch of guys, Cody Glass, Nick Suzuki, and other guys down to go with their junior teams. That's not a bad thing. We knew that was going to happen. And remember, when you look at that roster, too, on opening day, it's not just going to be necessarily the 23 best players that they saw in camp. There's contract issues and other things that are going to decide who some of these guys are. They're not rushing them along. They're looking big picture. We want them to win immediately as a fan base. But George McPhee and the organization want them to win 3, 4, 5 years down the road. They're going to build towards that. So, again, record-wise, this might be a tough season for some fans, but they're going to be fun. They're going to be exciting. And I'll guarantee you one thing with Gerard Gallant as the head coach. Turk is going to have them fighting.
I agree with everything you just said. He is Frank Harnish. Mag's behind the wheels of steel on Brian Feldman. And all right, Frank, we're doing a hypothetical here and absolutely no politically correct answers. It's 5 years down the road and the Blackhawks are playing the Golden Knights in the Western Conference Finals. Who are you cheering for?
I'm in the media. I'm not allowed to cheer for anybody.
I knew you were going to say that. I'll be straight up. The Red Wings play them in the Stanley Cup Finals. I am going to be wearing a Golden Knights jersey, and underneath it will be a Red Wings T-shirt. I can promise you that. I mean,
sell
come
out.
On. I'm not selling out, man. I live in Vegas, but I'm not my. Wait, the bottom.
No.
Do you know why the Red Wings T-shirt will be under the uniform? Because it's closer to my heart.
Let's see.
You like that? There you. Hey, I got it covered. Okay, listen.
But see, you have an advantage that I don't have.
Okay? I'm not on the broadcast.
No. Not only that, but also. the Red Wings and Knights, if they meet in the playoffs, they have to meet in the finals.
Finals, that's what I you said.
The Blackhawks and Knights would meet in the conference finals.
Right, the Western Conference finals.
As covering the team, why would I not want to go to the Stanley Cup final and cover them?
Okay, very good point.
Well, see,
you know, a few years ago, they all would have been in the same. The Wings just moved a couple of years ago to the Eastern Conference.
They moved the Wings so they could make the playoffs a couple more years because they weren't very good.
It's a win-win
for
Frank,
too. Hey, listen, before I let you go, we're almost out of time. I've been asked this a bunch of times lately about parking for hockey at T-Mobile Arena. I have my own answer and secret. I'm not telling anybody what I do, but I want to know what you're telling people.
I'm telling people to go to their website and find those parking deals so that you can get a deal throughout the season. They have packages for the full season, for the mini plans and other things, but you got to act on that soon so you don't have to pay the big prices the entire year when you go down there.
It's going to be a lot, but I'll tell you what, T-Mobile Arena, a great venue. I'm looking real forward to it. What are you looking forward to most as we hit the road?
Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing who's actually going to be on the roster, then that opening night in Dallas, and certainly the opening night here in Vegas. That's going to be crazy. And who's going to sing the national anthem? How are they going to introduce the players? All the facilities in T-Mobile Plaza. It's going to be huge. Major League Professional Sports is now here in the Valley.
It's going to be cool. This is Out of Line. We're out of time. I want to thank Frank Harnish for coming in. Thank Armani Rogers for joining me. Thank Mags. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place. 8 o'clock, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, home of the Vegas Golden Knights.